Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a beautiful Tuesday, but still can't get over what happened last night. And to break it all down, we bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona, G.K. Wiley. Grant, I'm going to start with you here first, my friend. As happy as you were with the Clippers' performance in game one, and we'll see how they do tonight in game two. I was really hoping, and it looked like the Lakers would find a way to get that one win in Denver. And we said that going into this series, if the Lakers are to do the impossible or to do what a lot of people did not think that they could do, they had to win one of the first two in Denver. I thought it was imperative to win game one just because they had lost eight straight. But listen, the beggars can't be choosers. So listen, if they found a way to come back in game two, tie up the series, steal home court advantage going back to Los Angeles, that would have been fantastic. Grant, they had a 20-point lead in the third quarter. They were dominating the game. This really felt a lot like a year ago. But to be honest, a year ago in the Western Conference Finals, they never had a lead this big. They never dominated the Nuggets through three quarters the way they did. However, and I jokingly texted you, I got a feeling of what it's like to be a Clippers fan, because when you lose to a team nine straight times, at no point did I feel confident in Denver that this game was over. And, well, lo and behold, Jamal Murray, of course, hits the game-winning shot as time expires. The Nuggets come back from 20 points down, beat the Lakers 101 to 99, and now they not only take a commanding 2-0 series lead coming back to Los Angeles, but they've beaten the Lakers 10 straight times. And I don't think there's anyone who's watched those 10 straight wins like we have that think the Lakers have any chance of beating the Lakers, who think the Lakers have any chance of beating the Nuggets four of the next five games. So with that said, Grant, your thoughts on the Lakers' colossal and perhaps season defining collapse last night?
Just heartbreaking for Laker fans, heartbreaking for the team, a dagger to the heart, because like you mentioned, throughout about now it's 3.5 quarters. I remember on our last show when I was talking about game one, I said, you know, for two quarters it looked like the Lakers were the best team, and for about 3.5 quarters it looked like the Lakers were the best team, and again they just couldn't pull it out. They went on a 5 or 6 minute stretch, I think in the late third, early fourth, where they just could not score. That's the Lakers I'm talking about. It just looked like their offense got stagnant again. And that was some of their issues in the regular season too. That's why they were, you know, down at the bottom of the standings, just because sometimes their offense would get stagnant and it would just cause them to get out of sorts. And that's what we saw, down the stretch. Again, the Nuggets executed to a T down the stretch. Jamal Murray was non-existent. I think he had one of his worst playoff games of his career. And yet when it mattered, he came through in the clutch. I mean, that shot over Anthony Davis, I know we're going to be seeing a lot of that for years and years and years, yeah, but that is not an easy shot. That's just not. You know, and much like Anthony Davis's shot in the bubble where they, you know, he won the game to, I think, put the Lakers up 2-1 in the series when he hit that shot and yelled Kobe at the buzzer. That was another
great
tough
point.
Shot, you know,
that was my first thought was that this was a little bit like that shot in the bubble. But then to your point that this is going to be a shot that no matter how long Jamal Murray plays, the fact that he did it over Anthony Davis, the fact that he did it against the Lakers, that will be his Kawhi shot. Like again, no matter how long Kawhi plays, that shot he had, I think, against the Sixers, that will define his career. Again, last second game-winning shots in the playoffs are just hard to come by, and Jamal Murray got a big one last night.
Yeah, and you know, he was just off all night. It looked like he maybe was injured. I mean, I know coming in he had knee inflammation in that knee, much like we saw with Kawhi, and you know, there's a lot of concern about him, and it just looked like maybe he was off a little bit, maybe it was bothering him. Even Nikola Jokic turned his ankle early in the game, but it's just such a heartbreaker for a Laker team that I thought was finally going to pull it out. I mean, they were up by 20 points in the third. Anthony Davis had only missed one shot up to that point. And then all of a sudden that the offense goes cold and the Nuggets execute down the stretch and you're looking at a 10-point deficit going into the fourth. Whenever the Nuggets get it close, you kind of know that they're going to execute well. You kind of know that, hey, if we get into the striking range, we can do something here. And they did. The Lakers just couldn't put them away. And I really, Arash, don't know where the Lakers go from here because they're back home. They're going to get Jared Vanderbilt back. But at this point, when you're down two games to the defending champions, does it really matter? It'll matter a little bit, but it's just such a dagger because he could have stole one from Denver in these first two, and nobody really wins in Denver. So
no.
Just a heartbreaker, honestly, for Laker fans and for Laker haters, obviously a great one. But in terms of the series for the Lakers, that's just that might be it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing, to your point, Grant. I mean, clearly the goal going into a series and not going out on a limb is to win it, right? And so now the question is, you know, can the Lakers win one? Because I think you're right. I this series is over now. I think the question is, do the Nuggets win in 4, 5, 6, or 7? And I don't think it'll go 7. But if the Lakers had won this game, if they at least held on, and again, they had a 20-point lead in the third quarter. I mean, I think that's not that I expected them to win by 20, but you know, if they had won again, if they had won by 2, and again, tied the series up, got home court advantage, maybe you win game 3, and now you got a 2-1 lead, and things. You know, when you're down 2-0, but beyond that, when you've lost to a team 10 straight times to the defending champions, you're not going to beat them 4 out of the next 5. It's just not going to happen. And I know a lot of crazy things happen in the playoffs. GA, your thoughts on the way that they lost? And listen. This was a must-win game. There's no two ways about it. When you lose game one the way that they did. But by the way, like going back to game one, they had a 12-point lead again. That was in the first half, beginning of the game. But again, they had the lead at the half. So this is two straight games where, and again, I feel like a broken record because we talked about this a year ago where like, yeah, they got swept, but those games were close. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that these games were close. So, GA, the fact that they had a 20-point lead in the third quarter, again, I'm not expecting them to win by 20, but I did expect them to win by 1 or 2 and move on and tie the series. Now that they are down 0-2, I think game 3 basically tells us if they're going to get swept or if we're going to get a game 5. I don't think they win 2 in a row against this team. Your thoughts on not just the way they lost, but just a really kind of a bummer for the Laker fans. I think that there was a lot of hope that this team would find a way to tie up the series late last night.
I don't want to sound negative, but boo freaking who? You guys have 17 rings.
Yeah, G-Hey.
Boo flipping who? I'm so crying for like, no, it was a tragic loss, though, considering how well they played for 3.5 quarters. But to Grant's point, you got to play 4, guys. You got to play 4. You can't play 3.5 and expect to win a game. You got to play 4. I think that the Lakers also, if they can find a way to play 4 against Denver, because, man, that backcourt is nice. That's all I kept saying the whole entire game. That backcourt is nice. When you have guys that, you know, they might have failed on the defensive end, but then they come back and they just shoot the lights out for you when it matters, like Jamal Murray or like, no Michael Porter Jr. These guys are just so, it's electric to watch them play. It is electric. It is just, it's what the NBA used to be, right? Like how excited we were to watch like old school basketball, so to speak. I mean, if you think about it too, Murray, actually, I believe he turned the ball over to give LeBron a chance to have them come up in the last minute by two. And then, you know, obviously they came back and Mike Porter Jr. hit that three, so on and so forth. And then we get this last second play where decisions were made that probably shouldn't have been made, i.e. not going for a three, maybe going for a two and an and one instead. Small little things that could have made a difference. These are the adjustments I think that the Lakers need to make at the last second that just have to be instinctual, and it just didn't happen. That being said, yeah, I mean, I feel bad, but not really, to be honest with you.
You don't feel bad.
No, absolutely not. I do not feel bad for Lakers fans. Also, because as a Clipper fan, we've never won a chip. So, again, boo flipping who, guys. Like, you have 17 rings. Like, stop. I do, however, I'm wondering what adjustments will actually be made. Is this like I hope this is a gut check moment for them, because you can't get swept twice in a row. That's just embarrassing.
I mean, I agree. I think it's trending in that direction, unfortunately. You know, because listen, here's the thing. They did make the adjustments, by the way. Like they had a 20-point lead in the third quarter. And at the end of the day, here's one of the stats. Well, listen, okay, there's a few stats that really stood out to me. So on one hand, like if you're just looking at the box score postgame, right? You're looking at Davis and you're saying, man, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 14 and 19 from the field, right? Grant, very efficient. Grant, 0 points in the fourth quarter.
Oh, man.
Like you cannot, like when you're watching that game at the end of the third quarter and the Lakers have the lead and they're doing their thing and you're basically saying, I think AD's going to go for 40 plus tonight. You cannot stop at that point. And I'm not saying he stopped, but at the end of the day, not only did he go scoreless, but Jamal Murray scored the game winner over you. And he's in that highlight. And, you know, we'll see how Jamal Murray's career pans out. But if it's a Hall of Fame career, like that's his high watermark. That's his defining moment. Again, it is so rare to get those kind of buzzer beating last second shots in the postseason. And he got it. So GA brings up a good point. Like, what are the adjustments? Grant, I think they made them. They had a 20-point lead. Like, AD was cooking. And then it just stopped in the fourth quarter again.
Yeah, GA, the Lakers made adjustments. And I don't know if they have any adjustments left. Like D'Angelo Russell actually had a fantastic 100%. Game today.
Thank you.
What have I been clamoring for D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves to have great games? And Austin Reeves had a clutch shot down the stretch. And I was like, okay, finally, they're going to pull one out because their guards are playing well. And Anthony Davis, there's a lot of, he had a quote earlier in the day yesterday where he said, you know, I deserve to be defensive player of the year. The media hates me. The league hates me. I can guard 1 through 5. Well, Nikola Jokic just destroyed him in the last 2 minutes. Yeah. He got an and one on him. Jamal Murray got him 1-on-1 and cooked him for the game winning shot. So when the player poll comes out and the player poll says that none of the players would vote for Anthony Davis for the defensive player of the year, I think we got to take that into account, because it seems like they didn't care that he said any of that stuff. I'm not going to take away the fact that Anthony Davis is a great defensive player. I think he's still a top 5 defensive player in the league, but there's games where I just look at it and I'm like, well, that's probably why you're not in the conversation, or you're not a finalist, is because of things like that. So I just wanted to mention that. But in terms of adjustments, Arash, I have nothing for you. I literally don't. What else are you going to do? You can't put Rui on Jokic because Jokic cooked that matchup.
Yeah.
LeBron took over and it still didn't matter. LeBron made 2 clutch threes back to back. Still didn't matter. D'Angelo Russell had a great game. Still didn't matter. You played pretty good defense for the most part. Still didn't matter. So like, I literally have nothing at the top of my head that the Lakers can go to and be like, oh, that's what we can go to win this series. Or, you know, usually teams, after you go up 2-0, obviously I always connect everything to the Clippers, but you know, when the Clippers were down 0-2 in the Mavericks series and the Jazz series 3 years ago, there were things they could go to, right? Ty Lue cooked up a small ball lineup and said, we're just going to play five out and try to drag the center away. Now, what are you going to do if you're the Lakers? Like, there's no matchup that I like. There's no, you know, they ran the pick and roll to a perfection with LeBron and AD, and then they just went away from it. So what's the point if you're going to use it all the time? And I know you can't use it all the time, but they use their best plays and it still didn't work. So I'm at a loss right now. G, hey, you have me at a loss for what adjustments they could make.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get your thoughts, because when you make adjustments that work for 3.5 quarters, if you're the coach of that team, G-Hey, I mean, do you kind of say we just have to close out? Again, the adjustments that they made did work for 3+ quarters, and then it just they totally got smoked at the end of that game.
I think my point at the end of the day, sorry, is 3.5 quarters, good for you. The game's 4 quarters.
Yeah.
So maybe that's your adjustment, right? Don't close slack out. Off.
Yeah.
But you got to close. You've got to finish. You got to, you know, hammer to the to the levee or whatever the saying is. Like you got to close out. You got to finish. And that's just something that the Lakers, specifically against Denver, have not been able to do. I don't know how they do it. I don't know. Maybe their mentality needs to change, or something needs to change in that locker room or in their heads, where they're just like, it doesn't matter, guys. We're gonna figure it out. I also don't think that it's necessary for one person to try to close out a game.
No,
I think that was a huge, that was something that, was very obvious at the very, very end, which, you know, I get it. It, like, he thinks that it's his role, but I think that one person shouldn't be closing out the game. I think that, you know, even the Bulls, you know, Steve Kerr hit the game winning shot, what, in game 6, not Jordan. You know, you gotta share the rock. You gotta put it on your teammates to be like, this is you. Jamal Murray hit the 3, not Joker. And Joker's the star of Denver.
Yeah.
So all of them, and granted, it's different because Denver's just ridiculous. Like, and they're a team we're never going to see again. But Yeah.
I mean, listen, they are the defending champions for a reason. They are the favorites to win the championship once again for a reason. There's a reason that they have a 2-0 lead on the Lakers. Again, there's a lot of disheartening things if you're a Lakers fan. One of them is if you look at the box score, again, for the second straight game in this series, you're looking at the numbers that you want to see. And at the end of the day, you lost. Again, Davis, 32 points. 11 rebounds, 2 assists. LeBron, 26, 12, and 8, almost had a triple-double. D'Angelo Russell did exactly what you asked him to do. He came in 23 points, hit 7 of 11 three-pointers. I mean, if you had told me that before the game, I would say the Lakers are winning. There's no question about it. And at the end of the day, they get the kind of game that they want from their top 3 players in terms of their top 3 scorers. And they still lose. You know, that being said, it wasn't like they lost going away. Again, that's another reason why it's a disheartening loss for the Lakers. Again, they had a 20-point lead in the third quarter. Game 1, they had a 12-point lead late in the second quarter. They are playing well. This is the conversation that we had a year ago. It doesn't matter. To G-Hay's point, can you close out? It's not a 3-quarter game. It's not a 3.5-quarter game. It's a 4-quarter game. And the Nuggets, one of the reasons, they give them their flowers, give them their credit. The reason that they are the champions is that they do close out. And it's one of the big reasons, by the way, that I wasn't very confident, despite the fact that they had a 20-point lead in the third quarter. GK, real quick before we go to break, and again, we'll talk more about the playoffs when we come back. You know, one of the bright spots I was hoping for is the Los Angeles Kings being in the playoffs. They got smoked again. That game wasn't even close. The Edmonton Oilers being the Los Angeles Kings last night, 7-4. At least on the bright side in terms of the Sporting Tribune region, the Vegas Golden Knights, off the return of Captain Mark Stone, got a 4-3 win over the Dallas Stars in game 1. We got hockey playoffs, GK. You always talk about it. Everyone's talking about the NBA. Your thoughts on the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, for the Kings, it was a disappointing L. I thought when we talked about this previously, Arash, before playoffs actually started for the Cup, the road to the Cup, We talked about what needed to be done for the Kings, right? The Kings needed to stay away from that penalty box. They didn't. They needed to, you know, I think their veterans needed to step up a little bit more. I'm not saying that they didn't, but they, but I thought was necessary for them to at least steal this one away in Edmonton. And so, and you know what? I'm going to give them kudos and whatever, because they're probably very comfortable over there. Majority of them are Canadian. So they're probably very comfortable in Canada. They probably may have enjoyed themselves a little too much with friends and family. But there's no such thing as parity in hockey. And that's why the Stanley Cup playoffs are the jam. They're the best. Next to March Madness, my favorite playoff all time is watching the Stanley Cup. So I'm looking forward to that. Go Rangers. Bempy, congratulations on that goal that you scored yesterday. Very, very happy about that. Dude, I'm excited, guys, because all of these games, with the exception of the Kings, are close, right?
Yeah.
Right? These guys are winning by, they're winning by one goal. They're winning by, you know, it's close. All of these are close, and it's great hockey. And I'm looking forward to some more. I'm really hoping that the Kings kind of pull it out, considering how they played this one. I hope they play mad. I hope they play pissed.
They
go on to win game two.
I fully expect it to be a very good series. I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is the third straight season where the Kings are playing the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. The last two series, the first year went to seven games, year two went to six games. I think it'll be a six or seven game series. I do think Edmonton wins again, a little bit like the Lakers Nuggets series. They got the Nuggets. It's not great, but it is what it is. All right. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Lakers, preview the Clippers, and a lot more playoff talk when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 from the California, the Bet in Las Vegas on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still climb with the underground when
we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California. 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. As we were touching on in the first segment, just a colossal collapse by the Los Angeles Lakers last night against the Denver Nuggets. Again, 20-point lead there in the third quarter. And really, the one man that I wanted to break it down, the man who hopped on the bandwagon briefly and then hopped back on as soon as he hopped back on it, hop on and off. He should definitely hop off and run in the opposite direction. Armani Buckets, listen, man, Lakers had a 20-point lead there. D'Angelo Russell did everything that you could have wanted him to do through three quarters, and Anthony Davis did everything you could have wanted for him through three quarters. They maybe forgot that there was a fourth quarter in play. The Lakers blew a 20-point lead. The Denver Nuggets not only take a commanding 2-0 lead, they've now beaten the Lakers 10 straight times. And I think every adjustment that they made worked for three quarters. At this point, I don't know if it matters. Armani Buckets, good to see you. Good to hear from you. Your thoughts on the Lakers blowing a 20-point lead. And by the way, and Grant Mona will get into some of the amazing stats from this game, suffering their first buzzer-beating playoff loss since 1986 before you two were born. Jihei and I were just babies, but an incredible loss last night.
Do we know who that shot was by in 86?
Ralph Sampson, Houston Rockets, yeah, over the Los Angeles Lakers.
I mean, first of all, Arash, I know, you know, it was tough to have me on tonight. I don't want to rub salt in the wound. I don't intend to do that at all, because, you know, this, to me, in my lifetime, observing the Lakers, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Arash, this felt like the most painful Laker loss ever. And again, correct me if I'm actually... Maybe
so you touched on it, the Celtic. Like, so it's not like ever, because it's a first round series, and it's a first round series that I think most objective Laker fans did not think that they were going to win. That being said, you know, you're up by 20 points in the third quarter. You think you're going to, you know, win game two. Like, even if the Lakers had tied this series, I mean, if I'm being realistic, you know, in no way did I think the Lakers were going to beat the Denver Nuggets in the series. So listen, more heartbreaking are, you know, like NBA finals losses and things like that. But listen, to your point, by the way, Grant, let's go over some of these, and then like our money buckets can chime in on it. I mean, this was a historic collapse by one of the most storied franchises in league history.
Yeah. So Jamal Murray, first career game winning buzzer beater. First Nuggets game-winning buzzer beater since obviously that Jokic bomb at Golden State, I think in January, that we all remember. The first Nuggets game-winning buzzer beater in the playoffs ever. And then obviously, like you mentioned, the first buzzer beater by anyone to beat the Lakers in the playoffs since Ralph Sampson. So, Armon, if I told you that Anthony Davis started the game 14 for 15, that D'Angelo Russell tied a Lakers franchise postseason record with 7 made threes, that LeBron had 12 of his 26 points in the fourth to go with 12 and 8. Would you think that the Lakers would have won this game?
How could you not? I
mean, right?
Again, I don't mean to sound like I'm giving hyperboles here. I just said that might have been the toughest Lakers. Oh, yeah. That also might have been the best I've ever seen Anthony Davis play in the first two and a half quarters. 14 for 15 to start, taking the matchup against Jokic personally, guarding him on the other end. I think the biggest lesson, I love Laker fans, the most passionate fans, seriously, the most passionate, and they always cheer on their team, good or bad.
The one
gripe I have with them, and I hope they change their stance on this today, they tend to point the finger at one person. This is not about one person. It is about the Denver Nuggets being an absolute juggernaut. And by the way, everybody's going to remember that last shot by Murray, rightfully so. The one that he hit right before that at 30 seconds to go.
Yes.
That one was just as difficult. And we talk about last season, what happened with Jokic throwing up the little, you know, what are they, the Sambor shuffles and all that. At this point, it can't be luck if it keeps happening and happening and happening. What a show by them. I feel, honestly, in my heart, I do feel bad for Laker fans, because I feel like they have played well enough to not earn a sweep. But that's sometimes, you know, if you play a great team like the Denver Nuggets at the wrong moment, that's kind of how the cookie crumbles, right?
Listen, Armani Buckets, I think a year ago you had, at the time that I called your worst take, you're a very knowledgeable man when it comes to the NBA, but you said that if the Lakers lost in the first round, that Ham would be gone. And I said, listen, you know, they made all those moves at the trade deadline, whatnot. 1 year down the line, I you should be right. Now we're hearing conflicting reports. We'll see what the Lakers do. But I think one of the most telling stats through the first two games, again, you have to remember the Lakers blew a 20-point second half lead last night in game two. They also had a 12-point lead in the first half in game one. They've led at the half. They've led in the third quarter of both of these games. The Nuggets have outscored the Lakers 114-83 in the second half in this series. You know, listen, and that's important. Why? Because halftime coaches make adjustments, right? And they do certain things. And I think, and this really goes to what a lot of Laker fans have been saying most of the season, but if they get swept, Armani Buckets, I'll start with you and we'll go to Grant. I mean, the key here is, like, do you have someone in mind to take the job? You know, but I really don't know how, if they get swept, they can bring back Ham as the head coach. Armani Buckets, your thoughts?
I mean, I agree that that would be the result. But again, isn't that just going back to the point that I was making a few minutes ago about pointing the finger at one person? That doesn't mean that Darvin should keep his job. But the issues with this team, they're nuanced, right? We saw this same thing last season. There's not a person on earth that can stop Joker. But the thing that they did in the offseason didn't do them any favors. When you have to throw Rui Hachimura, LeBron James, and then obviously Anthony Davis, that didn't help the case. The fact that they still don't have anybody that can really guard Jamal Murray, that didn't help their case. So again, Darvin will be the fall guy, but it's just, it's more nuanced than just Darvin Ham. And I hope that Laker fans can realize that. I know people wanted them to take a timeout at the final shot there by LeBron instead of rushing and shooting that three-pointer. Yeah, you can make that argument. I just think that, you know, these issues are more so about the Nuggets being so amazing than the Lakers, you know, unfortunately for Laker fans, being falling a little short.
Grant, your thoughts? I mean, if they get swept, and I don't even know if this conversation matters if they lose in five. I mean, if they lose in four or five, what will they do with Ham?
I mean, there's reports earlier in the day yesterday that the Lakers are going to keep him. Now, I don't know if those reports are accurate because I'd seriously look at reconsidering. But something I wanted to add, and I don't even like think this is a Darvin Ham issue. Anthony Davis scored his last points, and Arash, we were talking about this earlier. Yeah. Anthony Davis scored his last points in the entire game with 7:15 to go in the third quarter, not the fourth, the third. That means he went basically a quarter and a half without scoring the basketball after that amazing start that we were all talking about. Now, you can say that they didn't run the right plays, you know, but they really abused that high pick and roll and that side pick and roll. And it was working for the most part in the third and fourth quarters, especially coming out of the half. It looked like it was just going to work every time. And then for a 5-6 minute stretch, Armand and Arash, it just looked like the Lakers could do nothing. There were turnovers. The offense got stagnant. They are still trying to search for that LeBron and AD pick and roll. And the Nuggets did an amazing job of kind of stunting that. So that kind of took them out of it because that was what was working the whole time. And the Nuggets kind of just threw a wrench into it. And that disrupted everything for about 6 minutes. And that's when the Nuggets started to get back into it. So, I mean, you can look at a variety of things. You know, people will say that, you know, maybe Darvin Ham should have challenged the LeBron foul when it was 97-95 with two timeouts left. Maybe you could have. I don't know if they would have won that challenge, but it just seemed like things got stagnant and the Nuggets just immediately took advantage of it. And that's what happens in every single matchup I watched between these two.
Wow.
And on to that point, Grant, I think if there was one thing that this series has shown us, one fault that the Lakers have, one issue, they just don't have enough. They have five guys in the starting lineup who, for the most part, are reliable, consistent, and do their jobs. But then when you go outside of that, you got guys like Spencer Dinwiddie, Gabe Vincent, Torian Prince, who actually hit a big shot tonight in the fourth quarter. But for the most part, Jackson Hayes, Cam Reddish, all these guys that you would think would be complementary pieces. They're not asking them to go out there and score 15 points, but can each of you give like 5-6 points in good defense and good effort? And it's just been the starting five and then a huge fall off after that. And again, if you're Darvin Ham and you're looking down your bench and you're looking to make adjustments and tweak things, you look down there and you look and you're like, okay, well, what do you want me to put in Jackson Hayes? You want me to put in, you know, no offense to Jackson Hayes, no offense to any of these guys, but it's just not many options for a coach. And it just reminds me of what kind of happened at the end of Frank Vogel's tenure. Now, Vogel obviously had won a championship, but again, when a team loses a game, it's much more nuanced than, oh, we lost because our coach is terrible or our coach sucks. That's just my two cents on that.
Yeah, I mean, and before we switch gears, I mean, this win, listen, if they had won kind of the series, then I think the news of Christian Wood coming back in game three, maybe Jared Vanderbilt coming back in game three or game four would have mattered more at this point in the series and what you've seen. Real quick before we switch gears, I mean, do you think, let's just play this out, best case scenario, both of those guys come back in game three. They've been out for a while. I mean, like what difference can both of those guys make at this point?
For me, it's just a change of pace, change of dynamic in the series. I do think Vanderbilt, you know, we'll see how many minutes he can play coming back. And it, for me, reading that tweet, I believe it was from Dave McMenamin, it does sound like he is going to play, which is, you know, obviously would make a lot more of an impact if it was 1-1, but still another body to throw at Jamal Murray. And also, it's not just a different body, but a different type of athlete. You know, Reeves, Vincent, all those guys that are guarding him, D'Angelo, they're all smaller guards. Now you get a different kind of versatile, bigger wing that's 6'9", can give you a different dynamic. Arash, do you think that they're going to lose game three at this point?
I don't have any confidence in it. I'm just really being truthful. The Denver Nuggets are the better team. The Denver Nuggets are my pick to win the world championship again. I felt that if they were going to win the series, that they had to win one of the first two. The biggest thing for game three, quite frankly, is if this series goes five or if they get swept. I mean, I hope they win game three, but listen, guys, like we've really seen the Lakers play two very good games. When you guys look at the box score, LeBron and AD, just from a statistical point of view, yes, you know, like AD disappeared in the fourth quarter, but like, those guys did what they were supposed to do. In game two, D'Angelo did what he was supposed to do. I mean, like, I don't anticipate them doing something that is going to change the course of the series. Do I think that they win one of these two at home? I'd like them to, but I have no idea at this point.
Arash, you have been at countless of these Lakers big playoff games, big moments. Going into game three, what kind of atmosphere do you expect from the Laker fans?
That's a great question, because the buzz, they completely killed the buzz that would have been in game three. Because if they would have won last night, if they would have won game two, tied the series 1-1, stolen home court advantage, we would have heard over the next day or so, Christian Wood's coming back, Jared Vanderbilt's coming back, you know. Now it's the Nuggets have won 10 straight. The Nuggets have a commanding 2-0 lead. The Lakers blew a 20-point lead. Like, it's just negative, negative, negative. And, like, it'll still be packed, but the buzz will be gone. And I'm telling you, I've been at games where a team is up 3-0. I was at the last Lakers game at the Forum where the Spurs had a 3-0 lead. And, you know, it was sad. Like, it was the last Lakers game at the Forum, and nobody cared because they knew that they were going to get swept. And best case scenario, maybe they would have won game four and lost the series in five. And so that's what happens. And so what happened beyond just not having a chance to win the series? They've wiped the buzz that would have been in game three. Like, fans would have been really pumped going into that game. And now when you're down 2-0, the buzz is not there. And again, that is a perfect transition. Before we wrap up today, I want to get the Darmani Buckets' thought and Grant Mona's thoughts. Garmon, just because we didn't talk to you following game one, we find out Kawhi was not going to play in game one, questionable for game two. I mean, they absolutely just killed the Mavericks. Like they were up by 30 and they held on a win. It wasn't close. I do expect it to be a much better game too. We'll see. Kawhi's questionable. I don't anticipate him to play just because of the way game one played out. But really quick, your thoughts on how game one transpired and what your thoughts are on that series.
That game one performance, I mean, Grant Mona, what a performance by your team.
Wow.
They just have so many guys that can make life difficult on the perimeter for Luka and Kyrie. And I think the biggest thing that stood out was the Mavericks supporting cast disappearing or being non-existent compared to the Clippers having so many options. And how about the way the Clippers started the game? You go to Zubats down low, you establish that right away, and then all of a sudden Harden gets going, and then it was amazing because they didn't even really need Paul George to really take off until maybe a little bit in the second half and hitting some big shots then. But this Clippers team, if there's anything that we know about them, we saw it last year against the Suns, even though it wasn't the result that they wanted. They're a very resilient group. Russell Westbrook on defense. Again, Arash, I agree with you. I don't anticipate Kawhi playing. And the reason I don't anticipate it, he hasn't gotten a contact practice in yet. And I think that when you're dealing with something like inflammation in the knee, you want to see them go through contact in a controlled environment before you throw them into a playoff environment. And the fact that they won game one, for me personally, I don't think Kawhi's going to play until potentially, let's say, if they go down 2-1, I could see him returning for a game four scenario then. But Money Mona, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's questionable right now, but he was questionable for game one. In my opinion, I think he should sit until at least game three, because you have 2 days in between games after this game two. So that gives him a little bit more time. If you rush him back now, look, they already proved that they can win without him in a convincing fashion. Like, when this team is locked in and they still have James Harden playing at the 2021 James Harden level and the Russell Westbrook of 2020 level, like, they can still beat up on some teams. And, you know, you mentioned it, they right off the bat, like, the intensity just knocked Dallas right out of the game immediately. It felt like Dallas was not even prepared to play a playoff game, which is kind of crazy, because, you know, these guys, the momentum coming in. And Armand, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I said this yesterday, is that momentum is everything. And the Mavericks had so much momentum coming into this first round series, 16 of 18. They're one of the hottest teams in the league. They got a week off. And that halted, I feel like it halted a little bit of their steam, a little bit of their momentum, their confidence. And going into game one, the Clippers, all the talk around media was having the Clippers as underdogs. It was Mavs in six, Mavs in five without Kawhi. And I know the Clippers players, they may not say it, but I know they look at those types of things. I know they hear those types of things. So that's what I saw in game one. Now in game two, I expect Luka and Kyrie to go off again, but you made it clear all the other guys have to do their part. PJ Washington was the only guy in double figures outside of Luka and Kyrie. Now, if the Clippers want to continue this dominance, they're going to have to get more from Paul George in game two. I know they got away with it in game one, but they're going to need a lot more from him in game two, because the Mavericks are not going down quietly in this series.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a very... And by the way, Grant, you know as well as anybody how crazy this series can be. You saw in 2021 where the Mavericks came into Los Angeles, beat the Clippers two straight, and that was a wild series. Real quick, who knows what could happen in this series?
I just want to mention one thing before we go. Yeah. Russell Westbrook held Mavericks players to 33% field goals and 0% three-pointers in game one. He has been stellar on defense, like a great two-way guy playing off ball. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, and really, you know, while the Clippers were struggling, and a lot of people don't want to give Russell Westbrook his credit, and this was a point that you made, Grant, wait till he comes back. Let's see how he plays. He's played especially well. And again, these guys are used to playing without Kawhi. Not saying that they're going to win a championship or even win the series without Kawhi, but they are going to be very competitive. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to beat this team without Kawhi. Armani Buckus, you're the best. Hopefully we'll have you back on again. That's all the time we have for today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.